This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and worries and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in the fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, that is the Paul Perillo story.
Wow. Fred, that's 2 days in a row.
What, the microphone off? I'm all screwed up. But we are here, PFW in Progress. Andy was just here. He's gone out again for his third serving of Qdoba. Paul's here. He just wolfed down a plate. I assume Eric will be here at some point.
Yeah.
It's a big Thursday.
Really quiet one, Freddie.
Oh, really?
Ugh. Locker room was like a ghost town.
We'll get into that in a second. But before that, we got a little business to do. It's Qdoba Day. So later on, we'll have the question. And somebody can win a 20-person. Oh, my God. Andy Hart just walked in with a plate piled 6 inches high with food, and it's his second one.
It's nachos. I always start with two soft tacos, and I come back with nachos.
Oh, that would be good. We should have a whole thing in the middle of nachos.
So go make one.
People won't like this show.
It's good stuff, Fred. I can't get myself away.
I know, but you're hoarding it all for yourself.
Plus, it's a little hard to eat nachos on the radio.
Why?
And I'm not hoarding it
myself. Crunch.
We eat everything else on the radio.
Yeah, well, you're the only one that burps all over the place when you do it.
Anyway, we're getting ready for this big game in Miami, and I'm feeling good.
I feel pretty good about this game. I don't think Miami has enough offensively, and I think that's kind of ironic given the way the Patriots started the season for the first, seven weeks.
Yep.
But now I feel like the Patriots are going to – I'm relatively confident they'll move the ball and score some points, and I'm not sure Miami can keep up.
Good loose locker room, Fred. I know you like to know when it's really
those there. That were there.
But yeah.
Paul said it was very, very quiet.
No, I didn't say it was quiet. I said it was a ghost town. There was no one there. Well, those that were there seemed to be enjoying themselves.
And who was that?
The offensive linemen were playing dominoes, having a good old time. The receivers were down the end with Randy Moss and Gaffney, as always. Anytime Moss is around, it's a good time had by all.
Lamont Jordan was sleeping, as always.
I actually was walking up to Lamont Jordan to talk to him, and he put his hooded sweatshirt over him, and I just missed him before he tucked himself in for his nap.
Wow.
He was out. There was just the bodies were few and far between, Fred, today. But I agree with Andy, the mood of those that were around seemed to be pretty light.
Okay. Well, that's
but
that,
I always think that. I never think it's a downcast locker room.
Yeah. It's more often that it's upbeat for the guys that are there than it is, you know, guys that are upset just don't show up.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not
Ben
there.
Watson wasn't there.
He was there late. He talked to Karen. Yeah.
Very
late.
Matt Cassel talking today?
Yes. I caught a little of him at the podium, Fred.
Yeah.
A rare podium stop for Matt Cassel. And a couple of interesting things. He talked about his running, which has been obviously a pretty significant part of his improvement over the last couple of games. He just talked about, with the Jets game in particular, and Belichick mentioned this as well, the amount of man-to-man coverage that they employed in that game, and that leaves a lot of alleys to run in because obviously the coverage guys are with their men, and that leaves some gaps once you get beyond the three-man rush that the Jets were employing. So he thought that was one of the bigger reasons why he was able to have so much success on the ground, but talked about not sliding and maybe needing to do a little bit more of that, avoid some of the hits. I thought he did a good job of that last Thursday night.
Yep.
I thought he slid effectively after some long runs, a couple of 19-yarders that he made sure he didn't take a hit at the end of. Also talking about USC a little bit, Fred, and
oh.
He was asked some questions about You know, if he noticed, you know, or if he recognizes any irony in the fact that the guys that he was behind for all those years are now currently not playing while he is playing and succeeding. First, he was kind of quick to point out differences between Palmer and Leinart. He said, I was Palmer's understudy. I was his backup. I mean, he was, I learned a lot from him. But with Leinart, it was a different relationship because we competed and we collaborated. And I was behind him, but it was a different dynamic than with Palmer.
Was he defensive when he said that?
No, I thought he answered it very, very well and with a lot of class. Because you know, listen, as a competitor, Andy, you know, in his heart of hearts, he felt like he could have done what Leinart did, right? I mean, how many times in sports? I know you probably never, you know, you're like Tom Brady. You never had any adversity in your life, right? So you were probably handed everything,
right?
But in all seriousness.
When he finally came up against some competition
no, but seriously,
in San Diego, we found out what happened.
Who grew up?
What?
I don't know what we're talking about. Anyway.
Fred beat me in three sports.
Oh, okay. I see what you did. I'm sorry. My bad.
Finally hit some competition, and we saw what happened. He folded.
In three different sports.
Right.
But my point being, who among us didn't not get an opportunity right away and felt like we weren't better than the guy that was playing? I mean, I think that's a common athletic thing. I'm sure that Matt felt like if he could have gotten a chance to play at USC with all those weapons that Leinart had at his disposal, I'm sure Castle felt like he could have been pretty successful too.
Probably feels even more like that now.
Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't say anything like that. I just think he felt like there was a difference between, and I agree with him. Andy kind of scoffed at this, but I feel like there's a difference between Palmer and Leinart. Yes, he backed them both up, but it's like Aaron Rodgers right now. There was a difference between backing up Brett Favre and then if he would happen to lose his job to, Matt Mock or Matt Flynn, whatever the LSU quarterback that's there now, or Brian Brohm. If he loses, those are contemporaries. Those are guys that, you know, he should be on even footing with. He had no chance really to beat out Carson Palmer at USC. And I think there's a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was kind of the long and short of the Castle press conference.
Good stuff. But otherwise, it was pretty quiet in the locker room.
No, and I'm continuing with my fact-finding mission to find out just how many people knew about the ties before this week. And
right.
I had, again, I'm not going to issue any names or anything. I told everybody I wouldn't be using any names, but I think I had 12 now that I pulled altogether, and 5 didn't know.
Wow.
And 2 that did know asked me specifically what the procedure is in the playoffs. They knew that you could tie the game, but how do they do it in the playoffs? And I asked one of them today that asked me that. I said, are you serious or are you just kidding around with me? He goes, no, what's the procedure?
Wow.
So there is some indecision. And coming up on All Access, Fred.
Yes.
You know how you like when we cross-pollinate and promote. Mike Lynch asks Belichick about it. And Bill, and this is a quote that will be in PFW as well, but after All Access airs on Saturday, Bill says that it's certainly understandable for players not to know that rule, but he did qualify it at the end by saying, I think that your quarterback needs to know that.
Right, right.
So, and it was kind of, I not only got the audio, but I saw the video of it. It was kind of a dismissive kind of, it's kind of,
well, you know,
reading between the lines, Belichick was shocked, I think, that a quarterback of McNabb's stature wouldn't know that.
People should not be surprised at really how little these pro players are students of the game. You know, I've told this story before. I remember in Pittsburgh, the game where the Patriots lost in Pittsburgh in the playoffs, Bledsoe was playing. He got Vrabel stripped him.
Yeah.
I didn't have a seat at the window because it was very crowded, so I sat in the back and watched on TV and with Will McDonough, the late Will McDonough. And he told me, he said, if you want to know anything about football, don't ask a football player because all they know is what they're told to do. They don't care about learning anything beyond that, you know?
I think there's truth to that.
I think
you know, there's a lot of football players that could tell you absolutely everything that's
right,
going on in the field.
They're the rare ones.
But no, but I don't think that they know a whole lot beyond the – like Tom Brady can tell you not only what everybody's doing but why.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are a lot of guys in this league that could tell you what everybody's doing, but when asked why, he would say because they're doing what they're told.
Right.
You know, I do what I'm told, and that's the long and short of it.
Right. And you know,
I'm not saying everybody. I think there's probably a lot of good players that know not only their job, but the jobs of those around them, but don't necessarily understand the concepts of why. You know, Mike Vrabel could probably tell you why Bill's going to have a specific game plan for a specific team. Whereas another guy, and I don't want to use negative names, you know, the right. other way, but another guy might just say, okay.
Chad Jackson.
That's the game plan for that team. I'm just doing what I'm told. And he might know what everybody else has to do. He's smart enough to recognize the patterns and the gaps and the techniques right. and all that stuff, but he might not really have an idea of why that is.
And you know, it comes down – a lot of these guys, we've talked about it before, who played pro ball would not be good coaches.
Oh, I don't think there's any question
because
about
they
that.
Just don't understand the game well enough to teach it or have the patience.
I got a chance to hear some of the audio – that the Patriots guys take, you know, our guys, Kraft Sports Productions, and to listen to the coaches explain stuff to the players, it's like they're, you know, maybe if we got Eric, he might be able to decipher for us because it's a whole different language, and I'm not fluent in all those different languages.
Right.
But it was amazing to hear the detail, and it'd be one thing if you were in a team meeting, and they're prepared for that meeting, but this is the offensive coordinator and the receivers coach going over stuff that just happened on the field. You know, they're seeing something and immediately extrapolating from what they saw on the field to the players.
Right.
It was ridiculously detailed and in-depth, and I think you get a much bigger appreciation for the amount of knowledge that you need to have.
Now, how much of that, when they're going over that detail in a hurry like that, how much do you think that the players actually soak in? And how much, you know, when the coach is saying it, how valuable is a guy like a Rodney Harrison, for example, to be there? He's the guy that really soaks it in and then kind of transfers the knowledge to the other guys.
That's a good point. And that might be, again, I don't want to be negative, but that might be an example. Rodney Harrison probably understands why
right.
something is. And maybe James Sanders and Brandon Merriweather understand what they're supposed to do and what others around them are supposed to do. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's
right.
the case, but I think that's a logical thing. Randy Moss understands why it is.
Yeah. I mean, I never played college ball. You never played college ball. You played it vaguely over
Eric
Tufts.
Did.
And Eric, of course, did. But no, but seriously, when I listen to these guys on the radio, the players interviewing, and I know they can't be specific to the game plan that they're doing and they don't want to, but when they talk generally about their position or technique or anything, I gain very little knowledge.
Right.
There's nothing that I, you know, and I don't know much, but there's usually nothing that I learn from any of these guys talking.
I think a lot of it, I mean, I think, to be honest with you, a lot of it doesn't really even interest me. And I'm a pretty hardcore football fan, but I just think that some of it is so technical that it kind of, it bores me a little bit.
Well,
you don't need to know it to that level.
And stuff, yeah. Then each team has.
But even the technique.
I'm talking about general technique.
Like Andy noticed something that Randy Moss did on that deep ball last week. That the one that Castle overthrew him on, and Andy, you mentioned it right away that he kind of did something funny with his shoulder.
Dropped
he dipped his shoulder,
like
and,
he was trying to sell a cut.
And I think that's what happened. You know, based on some of the comments
but
that have come out since.
But threw him off
stride,
and actually, I think cost him the completion.
Right, but just like little intricacies like that, and. You know, did you see him, you know, I think Randy also talked about it in the very first game of the year against Kansas City, that he noticed he was backfooting it or he was on his heels, the cornerback or something like that, and that's when he altered his route and went deep, the ball that Castle hit him over the top. You know, the big 3rd-and-11, the best throw that Castle made that day. So that kind of stuff, yeah, it's very important for the players to know, but I'm not sure how much the average – you know, the average Joe gets out of that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just think that, you know, when you, for example, you're talking to a defensive lineman, okay? What he's doing and the reason why a coach is telling him to do certain things, rush a certain way, you know, stay at home a certain way, affects what the linebacker behind him is doing.
Right.
And you know, it's like a trickle-down thing, you know? It's one big picture that the coaches know. But a lot of times, these defensive linemen, all they know is what they're being told to do.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
You know? And
what do you think?
I think there's a lot of truth to it. I mean,
tough,
I think sometimes it's okay.
Boy.
Because
they
have a job to do, and it's the people behind them whose job changes based on that. So
right, but
asking the guy to know more than he needs to know sometimes for a lot of players, a lot of human beings, is counterproductive.
It's like me with computers, Fred.
No knowledge.
Just what I need to know.
No, he knows how to open Word and type a story and save it and put it in, you know what I mean?
I can put an attachment on an email and do all the things that I need to do my daily work. But you ask me to do too much, and I'm going to get overloaded because I'm computer illiterate.
And the story wouldn't be done in time.
Right. And maybe my story gets screwed up.
Well, that's a good point.
I think there's something to be said for that on some levels.
But the bottom line is these guys aren't – every guy that comes out of pro football is not an expert on pro football.
Right. Nor are most coaches that start out. That's why they put in a lot of long hours to learn their specific scheme, learn the adjustments. I mean, it's all – it is very much a language or a math, whereas you're learning the base, and then the second level builds on what you learned in the first level, and the adjustments and the rules and all that. I mean, there are a lot of similarities.
And now, great moments in...
What the hell was that?
What are you doing?
I don't know. He has that deer in headlights look, so...
Two genders just
kind of
like staring at the radio.
How'd you guys hear that?
Through our headsets, just like everybody else heard it through their speakers.
We thought we were having a great moment.
No, I don't think they heard it through the speakers. I think you guys just heard it through your headphones.
Oh.
Well, I think you should know the answer either way.
Tell me if you can hear this.
PFW.
Yes.
Yes. Good.
All right, never mind then.
Nothing like a little experimentation while on the air. Good job.
All right, PFW in progress.
No, taking a break?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Today is Qdoba Day. We'll do that later. It's also Picks Day. We'll do that later as well. For now, we'll take your emails. Webradio@patriots.com. We'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Is it disrespectful to call you a nice little player?
A nice little player? I mean, I think that's kind of gay.
How about a short little player?
How about a tall, skinny bench warmer?
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Well done, Two Gender. That is a great
moment. That was really good. Can't say that anymore about him.
But the bigger point
here.
Again,
about Welker.
Let's get the bigger picture here. PFW in progress history, great moments featuring two of the stars of the 2008 Patriots.
Yeah. We need to get a return visit by them. Do you think that they would do it now that
no.
they're. Well, Welker was big time at the time.
I think Castle might. I'm not sure Welker would.
No?
Unless he had to do something. If he had to do something, you know, he's polite about everything.
Speaking of you know, guys in the big time acting like real human beings, you hear about Tony Romo? He driving along the road.
I did hear about this.
Helped some homeless guy. First, he helped somebody on the road that was stranded.
Change a tire.
Change a tire earlier in the year. Yeah.
Right. And then he gave some money for a homeless guy to get into a movie. And then he sat next to the guy during the whole movie. And the homeless guy's like, you know, I just want you to know I haven't showered in a while. And sorry about that. And Romo says, that's all right. I hang around locker rooms a lot. So. But, you know, hey.
He's very likable. I mean, everything you hear about him, he seems pretty likable.
Yeah.
Seems like he gets along with everyone. And
hey, anyone that, you know, had Jessica Simpson, that's okay in my book.
Certainly shouldn't be referred to as what you just called him.
Right.
It's my quarterback. So.
But, yeah, he seems pretty genuine. Now, whether that continues, I mean, he's still relatively early on in this whole star Dallas
They've changed by now. He would have changed by now.
Well, that's good. I hope he does stay that
well,
way.
Well, how about win a playoff game, and then maybe he'll change.
No, I'm talking about.
Boy, that just turned.
He gets a lot.
Just went on the attack.
Hasn't had a lot of success yet.
No, but I'm saying he gets a lot of criticism. It's not like he has an adoring public. He is vilified for not having won that playoff game. And he hasn't changed.
Right.
So I don't really anticipate him changing.
Well,
much.
No, I'm saying that the real test is when they get to the top, what happens? He's not at the top yet. You know, he hasn't gotten near it yet.
But in terms of celebrity and everything, he is sort of at the top.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of being
he's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. That automatically makes you a star.
Right. So in terms of being pampered and maybe changing in that way, he's at the point where that could have happened already.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it won't, but on the road, but he seems pretty genuine. Why does a homeless guy want to go to a movie?
That's a good question. If you're going to get $10, I wouldn't spend it on going to see a movie.
Right, go get something to eat.
Role Models, too.
That looks funny.
That's the movie they went to see.
I'd go watch that. And it was in Dallas, right? So it's not like it was frigid. I mean, I could see around here you buy your way into some place where you get to be warm for a couple hours, but I would think he'd want something to eat.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the – maybe there's some holes in that story.
But it's the second time this year that he's done the Joe Average good guy deed. Remember that one where he changed a tire and the guy had taped the game and didn't want him to tell him how the game turned out because it was post-game or whatever?
Yep.
Okay, you're not ready for emails?
Well, something happened here. All of a sudden, my emails are gone.
Two Gender did it. He leaned on the delete button in there. It's the one button he knows how to use. I still can't believe he plays something and then goes, wait, how'd you guys hear that?
Something is weird going on here.
Something is weird going on here. Indeed.
Two Gender.
Okay, I got it. We're back. We're back with the emails.
What happened?
I don't know. It's all of a sudden there's this new folder that popped up in my Outlook. It said sync issues. And then within it, it says conflicts, local failures, server failures, and then web radio. That's where I found it. And that's where all my emails for web radio are.
I blame Ferreira.
I blame you.
No, but it was working 10 minutes ago, and all of a sudden...
Never happened before last Friday.
Anyway, should we get...
Chris was at his desk 10 minutes ago, and then he came down here for Qdoba.
Oh.
Good.
Is he elbow deep in the chicken right now?
I hope there's enough for him.
Yeah. After people steal it.
No, he deserves some. I mean,
he does.
He's an integral part of the show.
As Paul, how did you phrase it, Paul?
You can't say it. He's got his mouth full of nachos.
He's our dipshit.
That's... you can't say that.
You can't say that. Oh, man. All right. Let's get to some emails. Josh in York, Maine. Looking at the Patriots' schedule, Miami is a must-win game. It's tough to play in Miami, but the Pats always rebound well. The Steelers and Cardinals look like the two potentially problematic games. I think the toughest game they'll have to play is in Week 16 against Arizona. How will our secondary cover Bolden and Fitzgerald? Call me a homer, but I say the Pats shock everyone and win out, finishing 12-4. Well, you just said
homer.
I don't know. You just said they're going to have trouble, and then they're going to win out. Anyway, he says.
Yeah, well, you can have trouble and still win out.
I just think they've gotten much better over this season, even though the defense is questionable at times. I think they'll play well enough. In 2001, the Pats were 5-5, coming off a loss to St. Louis at home. I'm hoping for another magical run. Despite the injuries, I still think we have a better group of players now. I can't say better team, because the 01 Patriots were the greatest team in all of sports history. On a complete aside, I'm in Portland, Maine, where I go to college, and I did not get the Patriots versus Jets game because I don't get the NFL Network, and I guess we're just outside the Pats viewing area. I watched what I could online, but the coverage sucked. They didn't even show half the game.
Oh, I thought it was streaming. That wasn't a full-fledged broadcast?
I don't know. I've never had to do that. So.
No, I know, but you said we were putting it on our site, remember?
No, we're getting the link from NFL.com.
But you didn't check it out to see what actually...
I was with you during the game.
I thought you kept your thumb on all that stuff.
I'm too busy writing 3,000 words for every scoring drive.
For every scoring drive. In a
1,000 of them are even a coherent.
Right.
Oh, come on now.
I haven't read one of your post-game stories.
What do you think, 12-4? Could happen. I don't think it will, but it could.
11-5.
10-6.
11-5.
I think 10-6, 9-7.
Which one? It's a big difference.
Not to me, it's not.
No? I think 9-7, you don't get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not sure you do with 10-6.
I think in 10-6, you have a shot if other teams don't win. 11-5, I think you're in.
Okay. But we talked about that Arizona game. That one could be greatly determined by the weather. If it's a really windy, cold, ugly Foxborough day for that game, that will greatly help the Patriots. If it's a Indian summer or whatever, and it's 55 degrees and not very windy, they might be in trouble.
That's why I'm 10-6 or 9-7. That's exactly the game, and I agree 100%. I think if it's a good day, Patriots are going to have their hands full with
it's
that.
It's also offense. Another one of those days where, again, we say, well, if the front seven can do anything, because Warner's a guy, if you bang him around a little bit, he's not the quarterback that he is. You give him time, and he consistently puts up 300 yards with those guys. So that's another one of those we're going to be pointing to. Hey, maybe it'll be a Dallas Thomas. The longer he's around, the longer you start saying, well, maybe they think he's coming back.
Yeah, you never know.
Or we could get a release this afternoon that says a Dallas Thomas IR.
Todd Porter has the top 10 reasons why Eric should have been let go before Mike and Gary. No offense to Paul, Andy, or Fred, but when Eric comes down off the mountain, I must respond. So Eric came down off the mountain.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I guess he...
All right, let him respond.
Number 10, this is why Eric should have been let go. Gay guys can share their clothing, so he wouldn't have to buy new... I don't know. Number 9, he'll be ready for his presidential run. Eric Scalavino and Britt Hume in 2016. 8, tight asses create diamonds, instant income. What? 7, that art business is going to take off any time now. 6, one word, uppers. 5, will allow him to start the Fig Newton Racing League. What is that? What does that mean?
You know how they have the Oreo Racing League?
Oh, really?
He eats Fig Newtons.
Oh. Does he?
Yeah.
Fig Newtons are good.
But he has like a little container that holds like one or two Fig Newtons in
it. That's it? He just
lunch.
Brings one or two?
Yeah,
oh,
he's
that's
weird.
That's ridiculous.
Pretty much everything he does is ridiculous.
If you're going to bring, you got to bring a sleeve.
Right.
You got to bring the sleeve.
That's what fat guys do.
You'd eat the whole sleeve?
Oh, sure. Oh,
you don't eat the whole sleeve. You'd get about a halfway
right.
through,
then
feel
you
a little
up
guilty,
the cellophane,
and then later that afternoon you'd say, "Ah, one more," right. and then eventually you're through the whole
right.
sleeve.
His hirsutelessness saves him $20 per month. He has a job lined up with the Grammar Police. He's St. Paul's trust fund baby, and back to his first love, lubricants. So those are Todd's top 10 reasons why Eric should have been let go before.
That's true. He missed his calling. That guy that went around and fixed all the signs at restaurants and just went around the country doing grammar policing in restaurants and stores. And he had like a whole kit of markers and pens and would add hyphens and apostrophes. And Eric's pompous enough to do that.
Sure is.
Excuse me, could I fix your sign for you?
Oh, I don't think he'd ask. You just do it.
Probably not.
Okay. The Grammar Police. The Grammar Police, the Uppers, and the Lubricants. The other seven. Eh.
Paul from London.
Paulie!
Hi, guys, and still wondering about Eric, he says. haven't
still
listened.
That's an upgrade.
Haven't listened live, but I'm saddened by Tuesday's news on what should have been a great day for me on my 18th birthday.
Oh, I'm sure it was a great night based on the photo you sent.
First, the picture, they are real.
Hey,
the pictures are real. Second, the pic is on the forums. I didn't see the picture. What was
going
on?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. She was holding her breasts.
Oh, that's oh, that was from
Paul? That's his girl. That's Paulie's girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
That's why, regardless of anything else, he had a good night.
He sure did. Third, the Pro Bowl. Not sure if you've discussed it, but Gostkowski is not in the top five for kickers. Bruschi, Izzo, Moss, and Matt Light are in the top three or four of their position, undeservedly, in my opinion.
Bruschi, Izzo, Moss,
and Matt Light.
I agree. None of those four, really.
Not this year.
Well, I don't know about Matt Light. I think he undeservedly was named All-Pro, so.
But Gostkowski should definitely be up there, right? You got to get, hey, Patriots.com, Patriots Nation, we got to get those votes out.
Are we promoting that on our site?
Yeah.
The voting?
Yeah.
Promoting the voting?
Sure. There's a link right in the middle of Patriots.com.
Now, he faces stiff competition from Matt Prater.
Moss is way ahead of Welker.
I don't know.
Now, Welker's had a better year than Moss.
Oh, yeah.
God, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, the yardage is a lot, you know, similar, but I think Welker has about 20 more catches.
Yeah, but.
Plus, just in terms of doing your job. Welker has done his job.
That's why I feel like one has done a better job. I mean, statistically, I think that you can make an argument, right. But Welker has played better than Moss this year.
Well, according to Paul, Mayo, Welker, Mankins, Castle, for the sake of it, Gostkowski, and Ellis Hobbs should all, for a kick returner, should all be nominated, especially since Favre is in the top QB in votes. And 20 Redskins players are in the top five of their position.
20?
Yeah. There was actually an email that went out from the NFL to the webmasters saying, you know, the Redskins are, like, running away with this thing. And it's probably because, you know, their fans are just going crazy. And the Redskins might be doing something to promote it or something. But they're trying to get the other teams to promote it heavily to kind of even things up.
I probably couldn't name 20 Redskins.
Don't they just even that up anyway?
No, I mean,
when the voting comes out,
well,
it's only a third.
Yeah,
right?
2/3 of the voting comes from the coaches and the players.
Yeah,
so
that'll get that. All that stuff gets even.
Every person listening on the show on the internet, if everyone votes once or twice, we can get some of the stupid players out and some of our deserved ones in the top five. Don't think of it as a pointless match. Think of it as having Patriot pride.
Do you vote on kick returner?
I don't know. I know they have a specialist, but I don't know if it's a kick returner.
I'd vote for him.
I'm not. See, there's a lot of good returners now, too. I'm not sure if he's the best.
But you know what I say about him is,
I think he's outstanding in that role.
He's consistently the best. Like, a Devin Hester gives you great big plays, and then he gives you bad plays. It was like Dante Hall when he was on his high.
But how about
Leon
Washington?
Gave you great plays, and then gave you 3-yard returns.
Leon Washington is as good as not better.
You know?
I think Hobbs is pretty good.
He's ridiculously consistent, Washington. He doesn't
have those
Devin Hester.
I think Hobbs is, too.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
I think Hobbs is, in terms of getting you to the 30-whatever-yard line, he's almost as consistent as there is. And then he throws in the 40, the 50, occasionally the... I think he's a stud returner.
Yeah, it's a funny year for the Patriots for a lot of reasons, but I'm not sure how many... You know, last year, how many we have, like 9 or 11 or something like that, Pro Bowlers? I'm not sure we have that many candidates this year.
Oh, God.
Really, that...
Yeah.
And I know Paul was saying top 5, not necessarily guys that should go, but I don't know. I'm not sure how many we have.
Paul also wants to know, would Edgerrin James be a good fit for the Patriots as he is looking for a move away from the Cards, according to his agent?
Yeah, the Cards have said that they won't release him.
Yeah, they're not considering that.
I think that he's done and has been done, but in light of the Patriots situation, I'm not saying that it would be a bad move to pick him up. I actually thought, and we had some...
Alexander.
Yeah, Sean Alexander might have made some sense, and I wrote that in one of the SPFWs about a month and a half ago. Not because I think Alexander can give you anything, but he's an NFL running back. And even though he's at the end of the line here, I think, you know, that experience could have helped. But Washington obviously beat them to the punch, even if they were interested.
In the forums, the Picks League is in full force still, and Todd from Nova Scotia, Ferreira's enemy, is 107-53, and the one person really chasing after Fred. Enjoy Miami, and don't get too drunk, Paul, in case you kill two gender after the boring sound bites.
I'm not allowed to drink anymore, Paul, on the road.
Boring sound?
You're allowed to. That's a self-inflicted penalty you put on yourself.
No, my coworkers say that I get drunk on the road, so I don't want to embarrass anybody this week.
Wow. That's too bad. Are we going to go to Champs? Is that
where
we're going?
Sure.
Yeah.
We're going to go there?
Yeah.
Because there's other places.
I actually
there.
May not be going anywhere,
there's
depending
not really
on
other places.
What I get done.
Really?
I have to do the preview, so I might have to stay in. We'll see how much I get done on the plane.
Okay. It's just really Hooters and Champs there.
Yeah.
Well, they might have built a new place since we've been there.
Oh, that is true.
Hey, I have to apologize, Freddie. I did not get the spreads written down today for when we do the picks. Paul just reminded me of that with that email.
Uh-oh.
So you'll have to get – you have all the games, obviously, already. You guys can write them down, and I'll put the spreads in. Maybe Two Gender can get the spreads for every game for you. I have to leave at 1.
Where are you going?
I got a thing.
Really? Legal?
I got to do the big show.
Oh, you didn't say that.
I just did.
That's great. On a Thursday?
Yeah, someone must have canceled.
No, that's really good.
Yeah, Andy was there when I got the call yesterday.
Maybe they'll actually talk about football.
I doubt it.
Yeah, well, I'm on with Fred, so it's not going to be very fun.
Paul.
Speaking of guys that really only know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Paul, this is your chance to really
you pansy.
What am I supposed to
call
do?
Call out his stupidity.
See, this is one of those you guys don't get. You drive there and you just say, do I really want to get the crap kicked out of me for 4 hours here? That's what happens.
Do you have dignity and pride and beliefs and honor?
Well, you tell me some of the things that you would say.
I don't know, because he says so many idiotic things that you just need to react to in the moment.
Well Paul, if they start doing the we just don't know stuff, you got to...
Paul.
You know,
sure.
Then say, if you don't know, then why are you having this show? Why are we even discussing this if the answer to everything is... We don't know.
All I can tell you about that is...
Of course we don't know. No one knows.
When you were 10-0 after 10 weeks last year, you knew.
Right.
So I don't know why. All I know is if that topic comes up and you start fighting, can you text me to log on and listen?
I don't text.
If anything good comes up, I want to hear it. It usually won't, but...
You won't listen anyway. You don't listen to me.
No, if that comes up and you grow a pair and you take on Freddy on one of his idiotic rants...
You don't support my career the way I support yours, so...
Wow.
We don't know how that works.
Oh, wow. He has given you a lot of gigs.
What has he given me?
I haven't given him anything. He's earned it, but I've recommended him for a number.
He's handed you a lot of work.
And like me with him, he's never watched and never listened.
A lot of
work. Oh, that's not true.
He doesn't have to watch or listen. He gives you the job.
That's not
what
first
job
of all,
has he given
me? Oh, he's given you a lot of referrals.
I don't give him anything, but I do.
Paul, don't be shy about this.
Listen, if I didn't think...
You hand him stuff. No. Just the way I handed you stuff.
No, that's true. The first week I was here, Freddie was asked to go on Ted Sarandis, and he said no, and he said that you should get Paul to do it. It's like the first week I was here.
The only one who ever handed me anything was Shane Donaldson. That's the best one I ever got.
What was that?
Oh.
Jeb.
I would never have recommended you for Comcast or for EEI or anything, or ESPN with Felge, if I didn't think that you were good.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
There was another guy who did it on a short period basis who I was adamantly against doing it, and I think I, you know, in the long run was proven correct in that. You can...
Fred's confused.
Garner your
own
conclusions.
You got to lead Fred to the water and push his face in.
And drink it for him.
I don't know.
There were other guys that were here.
I love all my children equally.
Not that one you didn't.
Oh, okay.
Should have aborted that one.
All right. Ping Pong writes
in. Ping Pong!
What's this about Eric taking pictures of men without their shirts on?
True.
Ping pong!
He is worse than I thought. On to the game. I think that the Pats will play a desperation game and squeak by with a victory. I think that they will use what Joey Porter said to fire them up even more. Prediction. The Patriots play a close air attack game against the Finns defense. The defense will stop the Wildcat formation. The Patriots will limit the sacks. Eric, don't get disappointed. By blocking Porter well, the Pats will come out on top 24-21. Thanks for reading. Keep up the great work. P.S. I would send a picture of my better half, but she is underage.
So?
Well, so is he. So it's okay.
Yeah, but it's not okay for you to have it on your computer.
I can see that entire scenario unfolding. That, you know, limiting the Wildcat, you know, close, tight game, doing a better job, 24-21, something in that area. I can see all that happen. The only thing that I would I think it's time to distance ourselves from when the other team says something, well, that's it. Because we've had enough now where Joey Porter shot his mouth off, went out and had 4 sacks, by the way. They did change that one. And the Dolphins killed him when everybody said, oh, Joey Porter, what an idiot.
Right.
You know, the Jets last week talking about
He has rejuvenated his career this year.
You know, the Jets
Beyond
talking
that,
about
he's
last...
He's having the best year ever. He's getting to
He's got a career high in sacks already.
He's never been.
Games.
Like, this is a career year. Yeah. More than rejuvenate, it's
but even
the best ever.
The Jets last week talking about, we think that their defense is slow and old and we can score a lot of points. They went out and put 34 on the board, and they won the game. So, it's funny, when guys like Freddie Mitchell, who couldn't play, popped off, they shut down Freddie Mitchell. When a guy like Anthony Smith, who couldn't play, popped off, they exploited him to no end against Pittsburgh. That's the reason why they were able to exploit it, not because of words. When a guy can play, it's hard to shut the guy up.
The little difference here is the thing about pregame, and we'll see what happens in our house. And Porter has been in endless pregame fights during stretching.
There's a better than average chance that he gets himself thrown out of the game before it starts.
That's what I mean. That's the difference. There could be a legitimate...
He's an idiot.
I'm trying... Brewski, maybe, who can be a little hot-headed at times.
No, I run somebody out who I really don't need to get into it with.
Well, like Andy said. Oh.
Yeah.
Eric Alexander.
Yeah, I set him up.
I was set up like a...
It's like in hockey. You try to get your goon to pick a fight with their star.
So who are you sending?
I don't know. Who would I send out? Who's the Patriots goon that I could send out there and get into a fight with Joey Porter before the game? Who would that be?
Goon?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're asking for two different things. Do I want the toughest guy that's actually going to fight him, or do I want the guy...
No, I don't care who wins the fight. I just want him to get kicked out of the game.
Tyson DeVry.
Okay.
Last guy
last
on the
guy
roster
in.
Is
last
the first
guy
one
in, gets... first guy out.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, do you think there's legitimately a chance that any Patriot will take the bait?
No.
Well, the chance we want to bait him.
No. But I mean,
but he
has already
like
laid
that.
Down. But he's laid down the law that he was upset that they punted over there stretching. We'll see what happens in our house. My guess is the Patriots are going to do the exact same thing, because I think they did the same thing they've done all year long, and he could get offended and he could get in Pepper Johnson's face or anybody's, and Pepper will take a swing at him.
That's a good point.
And
I just think that trying to get under his skin, Fred. He plays like
right.
that. He does that every week.
It's what he is.
He gets in a fight. He'll get in a fight with every team he played. Remember those days when he was with Pittsburgh, he was fighting the Bengals every
right.
week. That's the thing is, does he do it to the extent before a game where he gets thrown out, which he has done in the past
right.
as well?
That's what we want to have happen.
But trying to get him off his game with that stuff is pointless, because he'll play the same way.
Okay, Barry Insiong, who was here this week. And visited us from the OC. He has an announcement. He says, it was great to meet you and take part in Tuesday's show. I'd appreciate if you could make this announcement for Patriots fans going to Sunday's game in Miami. The tailgate location that all Patriots fans are invited to meet up at is Orange 14.
That's Orange 14.
On the south side of the lot. After entering, go all the way to the right when gates open at 9 a.m. For more information, join the Patriots Tailgate Yahoo group, which can be found on the F-Core club list on Patriots.com.
Does it really say that, or did you do that?
No, he said it.
Because during the interview, he would bring up Yahoo, and you'd say, or Patriots.com. And he'd say Yahoo again, and you'd say, or Patriots.com.
So F-Core on Patriots.com. Orange 14 is
yes.
where they're all going to gather before the game in Miami. So that's good.
The weather going to be good? They're going to have a good tailgating?
I heard 67, 68 degrees.
Nice.
Yeah.
Certainly better than 20 or whatever.
I checked
it
on my applications.
Oh, so those facts are still to be verified. I don't trust that thing.
Iggy,
there was a commercial for the iPhone the other day that showed your little thing about the music where
yeah.
don't know a song.
Yeah.
And Dieter goes, oh, that's really cool. I go, yeah, when it works. The one time Fred wanted to use it, it didn't work.
No, the one time it didn't work. All the other times it did. Why don't you get your facts straight, big head?
The only time I saw you try to use it for a specific purpose in front of an audience that was awaiting the results.
That's untrue.
It didn't work.
That's untrue.
Fred did it at least two or three times in the tent,
then not
in the same
me,
setting.
That's the only time
and
I
that
saw
was the
it.
Only time it didn't work.
That's the only time I saw it is the time it didn't work.
That's because it was probably late practices that Fred did it, and you were really around.
Right.
Yeah.
You had taken off already.
Are you still here, or are you going to leave to go to the big show?
But what I was going to say is watch Fred switch sides now. Right now he's on my side, but I'm leaving in 15 minutes.
So if you're leaving, who's going to do the picks?
Well, nobody, because we don't even have spreads.
That's why I was apologizing. Two Gen is going to get you the spreads, but you have all the games
because
you'll just get it
down. What about last week's results?
Well, I can give you that.
Oh, okay.
I'll keep track of the stuff.
Oh, boy. The guy who just said, how'd you guys hear that? I don't trust you with anything.
Iggy from Madrid writes in.
Iggy!
I'm still pissed off with all the bad news regarding Gary and Mike Parenti. Just wanted to let both of them know how much we fans appreciate their work. I think this was a very, very bad decision, says Iggy.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
Anyway, I'm sure both of them are the kind of bend but don't break guys, so I'm pretty sure they will do well in the future. And P.S., I would kindly recommend He Who Should Not Be Named to read Michael's post on the PFWinProgress.com forum just to learn how to say goodbye in a decent way. There you go.
I'll have to read that.
I wasn't aware that he had done that.
Yes, he did. He had a goodbye, Mike.
He
did.
Sent as classy an email to me.
Yeah, as and me.
Well, yours was separate, but I mean, I just thought it was ridiculously classy on Michael's part.
Yeah.
You know, to have been here for as short a time as he was and have something as unfortunate as that happen, I could see him being very bitter and upset about it.
Yep.
If he is bitter and upset about it, he hid that. So,
well,
anything you want to say good about Mike, I have to second.
What are you doing?
Seriously, you can
my
hear
that. My mic fell off. I was putting it back. Don't yell at me too, Gender, because you're the reason. Now I'm fuzzy again. What happened?
Are you getting shocked in the head?
So maybe it's
your head.
Headset.
What?
Maybe your head's so big.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to have...
You stretch it, the headphones out so much, the wires start to fray, and that's when you start getting shocked.
No. I clearly don't even have close to the biggest head of anybody that uses these headsets.
Is that right?
I mean, you didn't tell me Fred Smirlis and Pete Shepard don't have a bigger head than I do?
No, they don't.
Really?
No.
I don't know about that. Paul, when you're in the studio today, can you measure Fred and Pete's head?
You know, when you're being big balls, Paul, and standing up to Fred.
You guys were the ones that were saying that, not me.
That's right.
Big
you're
balls,
just going to cower as usual.
That's
yes, Fred. Good job, Fred. Are you in the Hall of Fame yet, Fred?
Big balls, Paul.
See how he just switches sides?
I like that, though.
Didn't even take him 15 minutes. I'm not the one that said that I had big balls and I was going to attack Fred. You guys were.
No, don't attack him, but... Don't let him get away with nonsense.
When he pops off.
If they say stuff specifically like that, what you're talking about, we don't know after 10 weeks, or, you know, did I sit there and let them just say, tell me how great the defense was last year?
No, you didn't.
No.
I'm more worried
but
about
But I'm not
going to
go in there with an attitude
line.
And an edge. I work for the Patriots, and it's a little bit different.
But, you know, be the voice of reason, you know?
Well, that's what I am billed as.
Because basically what Fred does is he gives Patriots fans a bad name.
Yes, he does.
You know? Just like he gives Republicans a bad name.
And ex-players. And
yeah.
Guys with mustaches.
You
motorcycle
know,
riders. Whatever other groups he's affiliated with.
You want to encourage...
Guys named Fred.
Guys named Fred. He's a fellow Fred.
Yeah, you want to encourage...
Is that why you wanted to go to Jake Steele?
Maybe. You want to encourage discussion on sports radio, not, you know...
That's
you know.
Not their shtick.
Well, you know what's funny? Yesterday there was a guy that called in, and it was about it was a Red Sox thing, but it's pretty easy to understand where I'm going. They're talking about Mark Teixeira, who's huge free agent on the market, and whether or not they take him. Now, obviously, for people that don't know the Red Sox, they have a first baseman in Yukulis. They have a third baseman where Yukulis also plays in Mike Lowell. Teixeira's a first baseman. Where exactly would they put him? So everybody's saying, well, you know, hope Mike Lowell gets healthy and maybe you trade him. So some guy called in and said, well, I know it sounds funny based on the year that Yukulis had, but why not trade Yukulis? You could probably get the starting catcher that you need. Because Veritek's a free agent, and you could get a lot more for him. You could put Teixeira there at first base, who's better than Yukulis,
right?
And you still have Lowell at third. They blew him up. Like, what is so ridiculous about that? They blew him up. They didn't even let him keep talking.
It's what they do.
Do you think that's a ridiculous thing?
No.
Not at all.
I mean, I know you're assuming that Mike Lowell is
healthy. I was going to say, the one flaw is Mike Lowell could be done.
But you know that before you make a trade like
right.
that.
Right. Anyway, Rich from Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L. Is there a hole, Howell, Mass? I don't know where Howell is. I've never heard of Howell,
Mass. So it's Richard in a hole.
Mr. Howell from the Gilligan's Island?
I like Hole better, Richard Hole.
No, it's Howell, but I don't know. I've never heard of Howell, Mass. There might be a Howell, Mass.
I like how he said, from the Gilligan's Island.
I'm listening to yesterday's PFW in Progress, and you guys are talking about ties. Well, I don't know if you care what I think, but I think the game should end after 60 minutes. No overtime. That's the way it always used to be. It's fine to have a tie. Now, you don't have to worry about a silly coin toss. They don't happen that often, and a tie usually helps one team. It would have helped the Pats last Thursday. Now, there's actually a better chance that the Pats and Jets end up tied at the end of the season. Then you have to find out who picked their nose the fewest times on TV to figure out who wins the division. With the tie, you would keep it head-to-head, something relevant. As it is, the head-to-head is even. But is it? One game was a flat-out win. The other was squeaked out. Also, you mentioned it's not a factor, but after 16 minutes, players are tired. Injuries, I think, are more apt to happen. That's not fair to these teams against their next opponent. And it's extra bad on a Monday night game. Anyway, that's my two pennies. From Rich from Howell.
Well, to say that's the way it's always been, I mean, it's been since 1974 that we've had overtime.
Maybe he's old.
But that's a long time. I mean, it's been like this for 30 years, Sandy. 33 years.
Maybe he's 100.
34 years.
50 years before that, so it was longer the other way. He could be really old. He was old when he was on that show.
And I think the ties would really complicate things more so than anything else. I think once you start getting multiple ties in seasons for everybody, because let's face it, everybody would have tie. I mean,
right.
How many games go into overtime a year?
A good number.
It's like probably on average of about one a week.
Standings would look like hockey.
And as Fred pointed out yesterday, you would never be able to get the games in if they kept going overtime for a full time.
Right. 60 minutes would never get
Fred, out. I deemed that, by the way, on my ride home, the most ridiculous argument we've ever had. And there's a lot of them.
We're arguing over 3 minutes.
That's about
With 3 minutes left in the show.
And by the way, that's about the fifth time I've said that this year.
I said to Paul, that just proved that we don't make up arguments. Because no one would create an argument with 3 minutes left that was that stupid.
All right.
That just proves it's
Fred,
the arguments
week,
are
bad real. Week for Freddie this week, by the way.
I thought it might be.
Yeah.
No, Paul's a powder keg. You never know when he's going to go to.
I thought you were going to say he's a powder.
Yeah.
He's a powder keg.
I'm really not a powder.
Any spark can set him off.
I'm an arguer. I'm combative, but I'm not really a powder.
Our next emailer has a solution to the Wildcat. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Eric, here is my suggestion to the Wildcat. When Pennington lines up at the split end, don't get too excited, Eric. They should put Vrabel across from him and just beat the hell out of him.
His docent.
Well, a docent is a person in the museum. They have docents in the museum.
What's a docent?
It's like a person who kind of helps you along in the museum.
An usher?
Like a tour guy, but not quite. Anyway, granted,
so that's what Brian does.
Yeah,
described by how they pay him as well. No sense.
Granted, this doesn't really help stop the play, but because Pennington is out wide, he is fair game. This strategy would be similar to what we did to the Rams players in the Super Bowl, and it would maybe question them doing it again if he's getting the hell beat out of them.
And Mike Vrabel's responsibilities in stopping the run would be useless, and Ricky Williams would be running down the sideline going, "Woohoo, touchdown!"
Can I just tell you though that there's a very easy way to avoid getting hit like that, and all you have to do is have Pennington never engage himself off the line. And if he's still getting hit, they're getting flagged because he's hitting the quarterback. And that's the way that league is now. I don't see anything illegal with it, but that's what I'm telling you, that would happen.
Yeah.
If Pennington is just giving himself up every play and they're taking free runs at him, they're going to start calling penalties.
P.S., although Eric is a pompous jerk, he is good addition to the show and quite entertaining. I also hear that he can draw one hell of a Snoopy. Come on, man. Seriously?
I have no formal artistic training.
So is that serious? He really thinks he brings something to the show?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
Let's see. TG and NJ, Gary gets let go over Eric. Explain, please. I assume that he had the higher salary. Whatever. It just plain sucks. I understand with FNG Mike, he was the new guy, but Gary over Eric? Now you guys got the hermaphrodite at the helm. Like the football team itself, this ship is going down. If PFW becomes another casualty of the new economy, you guys need to take over the big show. Boston fans deserve better, more intelligent sports talk. Okay, well.
If PFW goes down, we're screwed. We certainly won't be taking over
the big show. We won't
be taking
over the big show.
So with all the Wildcat talk, what happens if the Pats get burned again? Reportedly, the Dolphins have not exhausted all their formations, and they have some new wrinkles to use on the Pats. Wildcat or not, the Dolphins are a younger, faster, stronger team. Can the Patriots throw on the Dolphins? How does their secondary match up?
Not well. That's what we talked about on the TV show.
Well, it matches up well for the Patriots to throw on the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever. However you look at it.
I thought he was talking the other way.
The Patriots have the advantage, and as I said, I believe Moss, his longest catch was 7 yards in the first game. I'll be stunned if that happens again. We all remember what he did last year, was put up huge numbers, and I think he's the wild card. I think they have the wild card. He's the wild card. I look for a big day from Randy Moss, assuming they stop Joey Porter, because if Porter's in the backfield every play, doesn't matter, as Bill would say. You know, pass coverage is about the rush as well, and if they're in the backfield every play, it doesn't matter how bad your secondary is.
Let's see. Ethan from Delaware writes in.
Ethan.
No shots today. Afternoon, guys. He doesn't say and Eric. Just he's playing it straight.
Was that a joke?
Unlike Eric.
I confess I'm guilty of peeking ahead toward 2009. I've gotten into the bad habit of thinking either Super Bowl this year or Super Bowl next year. The defense has me looking towards next year and watching this year to see developments for next year. My fan soul darkens because of it. I agree with Paul. For the most part, that defense has the potential to be much better in coming years. The veteran backbone of the defense will really be at the defensive line, assuming that Wilfork and Seymour stay with the team, with an infusion of youth with Mayo, Woods, and Guyton at linebacker. Merriweather and Sanders are improving at safety, but the team still has this gaping hole at corner. I think the injury to Wheatley really hampers the development of the defense, especially with the loss of Samuel. Do you think in the next couple of off seasons there will be an effort to improve the cornerback position?
Sure.
I would hope so.
I think there was an effort this offseason.
Yeah, they drafted two guys.
Terrence Wheatley, a second-round pick, is expected to contribute to that secondary. He's probably expected to contribute this year, but certainly will, coming off the injury, be expected to be vying for a starting job next year.
Yeah. Emily writes in, hello, guys, and Fred, Paul, and Andy.
Hello, Emily.
Do you think Belichick was embarrassed by the last Dolphins game and is extra motivated to stop the Wildcat?
Yes.
I have a feeling that he has lost a lot of sleep trying to decipher a way to shut it down.
Yes and no.
I don't think he's lost sleep over it.
Right, and I don't know that it's decipher a way. It's just a way to get his players to make plays.
I'm going to be stunned if it has anywhere near the success.
I don't think there's a defensive trick to stopping it. It's about guys making plays. I think their defenders need to play it straight and play good football. I don't think there's a lot of schematic that can be done against it.
Chris in the Bronx writes in. And he wants to talk about the ties. He says, I'm still flummoxed about the whole NFL tie thing, so much so that I actually just use the word flummoxed. I think I've known about ties in the NFL for as long as I've watched the NFL, so it's hard for me to figure out how McNabb could miss that. The last tie in the NFL happened in 02 in Pittsburgh. Rookies, okay, they've just come out of a system with a different setup. But with McNabb, who was in the league, a team in his state tied, hard to miss. In terms of football players only knowing what they have to, put me on that list. In college, I played tight end in a wishbone offense, a glorified eligible tackle. On 80% of our plays, I had to block either the outside linebacker or cornerback, and I still had to go over my playbook every week just to make sure. One week, the tight ends, I just realized that Andy's probably made the tried and true wide receiver comment.
I didn't.
He didn't. He's kind of zoned out here. But whatever. Practice with the offensive linemen, and with all their blocking assignments, it felt like they were speaking a foreign language. I think the Patriots set themselves apart from many other teams by getting players who see the entire picture and become so-called coaches on the field. As we learned from Chad Jackson, athletic talent alone only goes so far.
Especially in their system. I think they ask a lot of their players in terms of that, and I know specifically the quarterbacks from talking to my favorite pal and yours, Doug Flutie. They put an awful lot on the quarterback there.
That said, a lot of players in the Patriots locker room didn't know there were ties.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say a lot, but enough. A handful.
CNN is projecting that a lot of players in the Patriots locker room
didn't know
there were ties.
Let's put it this way. The 50% thing wasn't far off. It was pretty close.
Okay.
And you're talking about in a locker room that you just said you think might be a little bit above average in terms of they seek football smarts.
Exactly.
So there might be other places where it's a different number that would
bring
to a 50
average. And I
asked
rookies, I asked guys that have been around 2 or 3 years, and I asked some veterans that have been around 5+ years. So it's a decent cross section of the locker room.
Brian from South Dakota writes in. He says, I'm listening live and heard you mention the NFL Companion broadcast for Thursday night's game. Watching the NFL Network companion broadcast on NFL.com is pretty bad. They hardly ever show the game, and when they do show footage, it's usually of a highlight that already happened. Most of the time, you get a panel of three guys talking about NFL stuff that you really don't care about at that moment. I usually just tune into the Gil and Gino and listen to the game. On a side note, I'm very sad about the loss of Lori, Gary, and Mike in that order. I wish them the best and hope that they land on their feet. Also, I finally got hold of Carol Hardy, and I'm now getting my paper on time. It's great.
Hey, it's Scott Zolak from, you know, Zoe Knows, and it's time for the Qdoba question of the week.
Wow, it's time for the Qdoba question of the week. Who do we have on the line?
No one yet. They need to call.
Oh.
That was their cue to call.
So now it's time to call. The number is 508-543-7482.
You know, I defend you to him. When he calls you a monkey and stuff, I tell him not to be so disrespectful. I just told you.
508-543-7482. That's how you call.
Crickets.
Answer the Qdoba question of the week.
Dan, is the phone working? Are our lines open? Are we okay? Are
lines
we up?
Are open.
And I have the questions.
You have the questions.
I have a pair of questions.
I'll just give you real quick while we're waiting for a call, Fred.
Yeah.
Last week's results on the picks contest.
Oh, okay.
Andy had a big week, 12-3-1.
Wow.
Let's see. Eric and I went 10-5-1. Mike went 9-6-1. And Fred went 8-7-1. Very atypical, Fred.
Wow.
With the spread, really nothing standing out here. Mike went 10-6.
What are you, a Shira Springer story about Tom Brady?
Mike went 10-6, which was a good week. Andy and
Eric, wasn't a good week for him, believe me.
Andy and Eric went 8-8. I went 7-9, and Fred went 6-10.
Ooh, my first losing week.
So the
week.
Overall standings as we speak now, Fred still well out in front, 107-52-1, followed by
Andy.
Andy at 105-54-1. Are you that close?
You damn Skippy.
Wow, you're putting on a run. Let's see. Eric is 159-1. I was 98-61-1, and Mike is 95-64-1. With the spread, Fred still has a lead there too, 93-62-5. I am 84-71-5, as is Mike. Oh no, sorry, Mike was 81-74-5, the opposite of mine. And then Eric at 79-76-5, and Andy 74-81-5.
Getting closer to 500.
So you guys can write down the picks, and I'll give you my picks tomorrow. But in case you want to go over the standings to date, those
okay,
are those.
Good.
And in case anyone wants to listen to Paul be a meow, tune into 850 in Boston.
So in an hour, you'll be online.
Yeah.
Okay.
WEI.com. Yeah.
Not calling out Fred Smirlis.
Well, we'll see.
If he deserves it, I will.
We'll see.
What are you trying to get me to get in trouble today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We haven't had enough personnel changes.
I think, Paul, if you do that, I think Glenn will really appreciate it.
Can you guarantee me that I have a job when I come back?
Yes.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
So
we're not asking you to say anything anti-patriots or like
right.
make stuff up. Just when they say something ridiculous, pro-patriot, bring in a little facts to the show.
The whole
don't
point
let the,
is
the stupidity
what ends
get
up
way
happening
the facts.
Is it they paint you in a corner to if you question them on some of those things, you come off as very anti-patriot. You guys know.
But my example,
it's like,
Fred,
it's like
not
what
true.
The Republicans do. If you question anything, you're anti-American.
Right, it's my
we're done with politics.
But, you know, we are done with
the election
politics.
Has passed.
But
let's
it
move
is
on.
Right, Fred. You know, it's,
the,
it's the whole abortion
thing.
Right. It's not pro-choice. It's pro-death.
Right.
But
you know,
my example.
I mean, give me a
some guy called
break.
In and said, I think the secondary is going to be their Achilles heel. I like the team, but I think this year that's going to be what ends up costing them the season. They can't go as far as maybe they could have. And Fred goes, well, they played pretty good last week. Well, did they? There, I want you to say, well, did they?
Should I say it like a...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like
no,
Eric?
No, what you
just
do,
like
what you do is say Fred.
Well, last week.
Fred, I'm actually looking at this game and trying to, you know, look at it and trying to give some intelligent,
but,
you know...
I always do that.
Reasoning.
I never,
to me, that's a little more argumentative, saying, I'm trying to look at it intelligently. That's already a shot at him. You can just say, well... How did they play well? What did you see that made you think
they
played well?
So you're saying use the Socratic method.
Yes.
Socrates?
Yeah, Socrates.
No, I'm just saying.
What the hell is that?
Wrong number.
What was that?
It's just a little, I don't know, what, you just ride your Schwinn to work today or what? All right, I got to go.
And he doesn't have a seat on it.
Paul has to go. Oh. Paul has to go. He's going to the big show. He's getting all ripped up. Come on, Paul. We're counting on you. This
big ball,
it.
Paul.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure now.
There is. Don't worry, we won't actually listen, so we'll never know.
All right.
Now it's time for this week's Qdoba question of the week.
Do we have someone on the line? Oh, no.
I'm guessing.
Just reminding people.
I'm guessing you screwed something up.
508-543-7482. Qdoba buffet for 20. Look, if you live somewhere where
he's
you
checking
can't take
the wires,
it-
because in the old days, we got calls the second Zoe spoke. The old days, it worked. I'm just saying.
So, you know, even if you don't live in Massachusetts and don't think you'll be able to use it, give it to a friend.
Oh, you plug the line in and we get a call immediately. Try having it plugged in the whole damn time, monkey boy.
It was plugged in and the person hung up.
You probably just hung up. Where's Dvorkin? Can you get somebody down here who knows what they're doing?
Oh, my God. We can't even take phone calls.
Do you know how to play circus music? Because that would be appropriate right now for your performance. Yes.
All right. Our next emailer says, I love your optimism, Fred, but what part of this season makes you think that the Patriots can win 83% of their games in a given stretch? Here's what I figure this season. They have won 6 games they should win. They lost 2 games that they should have won, and they are 0-2 in games that they should have lost. They have 2 games left that they should probably lose and 4 they should win. The percentages say that they will lose to Pittsburgh and Arizona and lose one of the 4 games that they should win. I know someone will scoff at the Arizona game, but I will write back to tell you why I think the Patriots are an underdog.
I don't think too many people will scoff. I think Arizona is turning into a decent football team, and a decent football team is pretty good in this season.
But, you know, they're going to come to New England and play here. Mm-hmm. I think the Patriots win that game.
I'm not willing to make an assessment this early on. I just think the way this team is, I need to see how they're
playing. I'm willing.
You are. Assuming you're only willing, though, when you're willing to say they're going to be good. What was the phrase you used on the TV show? We're closer to our competition this year or something. That's because we're not as good. That's the bottom line.
I did it in a diplomatic way.
A political way. You didn't say the truth. Half-truths. And finally, the phone has rung.
But I think he's talking to his girlfriend, I think. I don't think it's...
Get off the phone with your girlfriend.
Pac-Man, let's see. Hello, sirs. Sorry for the non-Patriots question, but I was wondering your thoughts on Adam Jones being reinstated again. I believe it sends the wrong message to the rest of the league and the rookie class to be, when is enough enough?
I've already reached that point. I think he should be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he had his second chance after major crap went down. And he blew it. Go away. But he's talented, so he will continue to get chances.
Okay. Let's see. Josh in Arlington. I'm just tuning in for the first time this week. Did some people go on the show get let go? What's going on, Fred? I need to know. Well, yeah. Some people did get let go. We had massive layoffs here, and Gary and Mike and Lori lost their jobs on last Friday. So
what did the other guy say? I'm going to miss Lori, Gary, and Mike in that order.
Right.
That was pretty funny. Sorry, guys.
So, yeah, it was tough.
It sucks.
Yep.
And it still sucks because we don't even know who got let go throughout the organization.
Let's see. Jason, in Steinbach, Manitoba, Canada. What? Why do you do that? Why do you move your hand like that, two gender?
What are you, Chris Berman?
You're moving your hand. What do you have, Tourette's? What the hell are you doing in there?
Now you're acting just like Chris. Have you seen that video clip of Chris Berman where he flips out on like a production assistant because they move behind the camera?
Well, I don't know what he's doing. He wants my attention. That's what
I don't
you
think
do.
He wanted your attention.
No, but when
thing sucks.
So then don't move your hand up like that.
I don't want your attention. I'm talking to Andy.
So what were you doing?
I'm talking to Andy.
But I'm going to look at that hand and I'm going to think he wants my attention.
That's funny. When he holds up a sheet of paper with a name on it, you never look at it and
I
think
do
he
that
wants
on
you
purpose.
To call.
I do that on purpose just to make him mad.
We're going to play that soundbite again. Now it's time for the Qdoba question of the week.
No, really, you call in now, 508-543-7482, and just to see if you can answer the question.
Now it's time for the Qdoba question of the week.
There you go. Now we'll get a call.
You had to have the right voice.
508.
Cherry pie?
508-543-7482. All right.
Gary, if you're out there, call in. Have a free taco on us.
Let's see. Jason says, I've been a loyal listener now for about 5 years. You guys are the best at what you do. I was sorry to hear about the layoffs hitting Gary, Mike, and Lori. Even a Giants fan didn't deserve that fate. Only too bad that it didn't happen while a particular DB Cowboys fan was around.
I agree.
Can you guys tell which Patriots might be heading for free agency next year? Despite the fact that it has been a bit of a down year without Brady and other big injuries, I'm excited to see some of the young guys excelling in their roles, especially Mayo and Guyton, and I think the future is looking bright. Cheers, guys, and thanks for keeping fans like me informed, even half a continent away.
Well, Matt Castle.
Oh.
Then there's not a lot of others. There's a lot of guys the next year. the following year. But I don't have the list in front of me, and you know me, post-colonoscopy, I'm not good off the top of my head.
All right, so we have a caller on the line, Josh from Arlington. He's going to try to answer the Qdoba question of the week. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Fred. So I figure I have no chance of getting this right since I haven't listened yet this week.
Okay.
Apparently people need the question out there before they're going to call in. So.
Well, no, but if the first person doesn't get it right, we ask a different question for the second person.
Well, either way, I'll try to take one for the team and get this.
Absolutely. Thanks for getting it rolling. Okay, Josh, you ready for the question? Andy's going to ask it.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead, Andy.
First question. On Tuesday's show, Patriots fan club president Barry was a guest on the show. What did Barry say was his favorite Patriots road trip? I'll give you a clue. It's also the favorite road trip of the PFW in Progress team.
Favorite Patriots. Is this just a standard trip or is this a particular game?
It was a particular game, but there's good reason for it. It's logical. It's one of the handful of trips that would be appealing to even just the Joe average traveler. They have a nice stadium, may have hosted a Super Bowl recently.
Well, they didn't have that at that time. The stadium wasn't that nice at that time.
Shaq plays there.
Well, I could only guess the Arizona Cardinals.
Yay! You pulled it out.
All right. Okay.
Is there a fan club meeting sometime soon, an upcoming game?
Is there? Well, their fan club is going to Miami this weekend, and they're meeting in Orange 14 before the game.
Well, if anybody's listening that is going to any other games this year where they're having a fan club meeting and they need the Qdoba thing, tell them to email in and let you guys know, because I already got one earlier this year that's for myself. That one I'll definitely donate to.
Okay, okay.
Whoever's having a reasonably sized fan gathering.
Yeah, for the next home game, we'll make note of that and have somebody What?
Okay, talk to two gents.
No, that's in the fan club. Have him, president or whatever.
Okay, we will do that. And you stay on the line.
I have Josh's info. I'll get it to the guy.
He's got it already.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Thanks for bailing
Josh,
two gender out.
Great. I look at two gender because I want his, cooperation here, and he looks at me like I
can't hear. There's a whole conversation going on in the studio.
Who's talking in the studio? Do they know we have a radio show going on here?
Show them the sign on air.
Todd writes in, why is Paul anti-Patriots on Patriots.com? Does Paul think no one listens to this show? He needs to call them out on EEI. His best show was last year when he called them out for saying the D was good. I don't get why that show is so popular. They take a side, then make fun of all the callers. It's stupid. I agree.
It's true. You can never have the opposite opinion on that show. Even at whatever point they become critical of some team, if you call in and happen to say something positive, then they blow you up, even though you're singing the same tune they were singing 2 weeks earlier. It's like it's one track mind on that show.
Yep. Hey. Now what's going on?
Getting the thumbs up from former quarterback Scott Zolak, who apparently stopped by to have a couple tacos.
Wow. Eric's here.
Hi, he doesn't have headphones on yet. Let him get situated.
Eric really likes wearing sweaters, I noticed.
I'm going to start wearing sweaters because it's 50 degrees in this building all the time.
We're trying to save money.
Yeah, I noticed. But I'm cold.
I've been hooked on the Olympics.
If you work hard, then you don't get as cold. I just keep busy and I stay warm.
If you work hard, you
also have that extra layer of fat.
Stay warm.
If I work harder, that means I press the T button a little harder on my laptop. I mean, am I really going to sweat more?
Listen to Ebenezer Kirsch over here.
Right.
Well, these are tough times.
Yeah, we have to beg to put another coal on the fire in the PFW.
These are the times that try men's souls.
He works 15-hour days, but I turn around when Paul and I are walking to our car last night, and his car is starting up, and he's backing out of the spot and peeling out.
I Wednesday nights is when the tutor comes. I have to be home because Nikki's working now.
The tutor? What are you getting tutored in?
Connor. I have a tutor coming.
You're getting tutored
Mondays
in
and Wednesdays. Mondays and Wednesdays. Getting ready for the Catholic school exam.
Why do you have to be there?
Because they can't come in without an adult in the house.
Is it a male or a female?
And you're an adult?
Female.
Hot?
No.
That's why he's got to be home. He's got to keep Connor from...
Well, I won't lie to you. That'd be pretty cool if you're a kid in middle school and you have a hot tutor.
Hot for teacher.
No, Dad, just stay at work. We'll be fine without you.
Yeah, don't bother me while I'm studying. I have anatomy homework I have to get to.
Oh.
Wow.
If only. Okay, Eric, you're back from practice.
Yeah. Where's the big man over
he's
here?
He's going to the big show. The big man's going to the big show.
He's big time in us. Wait, we got picks this week.
I know. He left the.
He dropped the ball more than you could believe. Wow. We have no spreads. He's not recording
you're
it.
You're making my point.
The big show calls and he forgets
spreads?
All
he
else.
He really just drops everything.
Everything.
Dan, you didn't get the spreads yet?
No, but I can get them, I guess.
Yeah, get them and print them out. We need them.
You guess. What else are you doing back there?
Oh, Eric comes in just throwing haymakers.
Certainly not playing drop-ins or anything.
Two gender.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I know. I owe him a few cheap shots. I owe him a few.
He deserves it. He's had a terrible show.
Really?
Terrible.
All right. Well, four is the magic number this week at practice, Fred.
But four? A different four?
A different four.
Ooh. Oh.
I'm intrigued.
Yes.
Go.
It's unfortunate which one the four is this time.
Uh-oh.
Your typical three were Adalys Thomas, Eric Alexander, and Lamont Jordan.
Still, once again,
was sleeping at his locker again. But the number four yesterday was Jonathan Wilhite, who, according to the participation report, had the flu. He was back today. The unfortunate part is that Big Vince was number four today, missing in action.
That's really unclear
as to why.
And it's really weird.
Because he was not listed at all on the injury report yesterday.
Ty Warren misses a game. Richard Seymour misses the first practice following that game, but Ty Warren's there.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Seymour comes back, and now
Vince Wilford.
Maybe they're just giving those guys a little time
off,
potentially. But I find that weird when
they're
also in like shells, so it's not
they were
like
in shells
giving
again.
Them
right.
A time off from this banging, bruising practice.
Right. They had full pads Tuesday, did a little hitting then, but since then it's been shells again.
And he's been on it. He had a toe. Is that what he still has?
Well, Vince?
Yeah.
He was not listed on it.
No,
you
like,
don't have to list the injury until Friday.
Two weeks ago, I think it was a toe, yeah.
Right after the game against Indy, right?
Believe so.
He didn't play a ton in that game. They rotated a lot.
Right.
He played a lot early, then didn't play much, showed up, but then hasn't missed any time since.
Right.
It's interesting if those guys are just getting a little nicked up front and they're kind of monitoring things.
And Seymour listed as the toe this week.
Interesting.
So that's kind of bizarre. And, they Warren certainly not listed at
all those guys on the field to face the Wildcat.
Wildcat, yeah. You know what, Fred? Thank God this week is almost over. Because I'm getting sick and tired of hearing questions asked about the Wildcat. I don't know about the rest of you, but...
I was sick of it halfway through the conference call on Monday.
Every day, the same questions to different players.
It really is, you know, incredible how unimaginative the media is. They just can't think of another angle.
And it didn't help that there was nobody there to talk today.
Yeah.
Right.
I know you probably talked about this already, but...
Quiet locker room.
Amazing.
All right. So otherwise they were in shells today?
In shells, inside again, prepping for that warm weather. And
uh-oh.
You know, Zoe just came back in.
The refrigerator's broken. There's no free drinks.
Yeah, no free drinks.
So you got our free food and
warm
get
water.
Out.
You can have room temperature water. That's about it.
Smaller.
I know.
Well, you get here earlier and it's still a good spread.
Okay.
We'll be on again tomorrow?
No, we're not on until Tuesday.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Pizzas.
All right.
Zoe's buying lunch on Tuesday,
hey!
Baby.
Hey!
That's what I like to hear. People offering up free food.
All right, so back.
I also hear that if you're an all-access fan, you need to watch this week because Zoe proves that he has absolutely no fear of looking stupid on TV. Apparently he's in costume in a Thanksgiving-themed segment. So
like a pilgrim's outfit?
I'm not going to give it away, but if you want to see a former NFL player stoop to the depths of embarrassment.
And I have some good stories.
Watch All Access.
By the way, Howell is in New Jersey.
No.
It's not Mass.
So it's a poop Howell.
What happened?
Well, there was a guy from Howell. I didn't know where Howell Mass was. You know,
where is it?
Eric,
New Jersey.
Yeah, okay. Whereabouts? Anywhere? Any idea?
Between the borders of New Jersey.
It's near Delaware.
Why,
Fred?
Why?
Actually, that's what your mother told me.
Wait a minute.
Well, you started it.
I didn't start anything.
Let's turn this back a little bit. The boss, the executive director of new media, our boss, yesterday called me a D.I. bleep bleep on this show.
Rhymes
today,
with slick?
Yes, took a shot at your mom.
Unbelievable.
Is this
well,
the
Paul,
man?
Paul
47 going on four
today.
So your defense is Paul said the S word.
Yeah, that's mature.
He did. He said the S word.
Are you regressing?
Yeah.
You haven't.
In what context?
With no regrets.
In what context? Was he upset about something?
With King no of the dip bleeps.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he called Ferrer our dip bleep.
Intentionally? Like, did it slip afterwards and he was like,
no, he pretty much had a lot of time to think about it and...
And just decided to heck with it?
Just brazenly said what he wanted to say.
Dan just handed me the spread. I better give
it to... There you go.
So I don't know how to read
this. I don't know.
I always get it asked backwards. All right.
Because, Eric, you have a notebook. You can write it down as well.
Yes, I'll do that.
Somebody's at the door.
Hi, this is Christina Acker from Patriots Today.
Jackpot.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
Two Gender comes up with another one, better than his first effort yesterday. It's, in light of this week's game, very appropriate.
Uh-huh.
Miami Claps.
Ooh.
That's Miami Claps, and it's not bad. It's not a STD.
It's not what you think?
No. It involves a lady with a large badonkadonk, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
The things Fred likes.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Matt from Connecticut says, last week when doing the picks, Fred got very flustered when something happened to his computer, and when Paul tried to go out of order, Fred got angry. I think Fred may be cheating. Check to see that he isn't using someone else's picks.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm using NFL.com's picks.
That is a good point. The computer went down. We tried to go to another game, and you went ballistic.
I go in the order that NFL.com
You go in the
up.
Order that your cheat sheet has them.
And whose picks would I be using?
Somebody who knows what they're talking
There's
about.
There's no one that comes close to my record.
Oh, see, every week he's getting more.
He also
I had a losing week. I had a bad, my first losing week.
He's getting cocky.
6
oh,
and 10.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going down.
With the spread, yeah, 6 and 10. Yeah. You still had a, you were above 500 normally.
Right.
Yeah, but
it only matters.
I could pass him without the spread. I'm within striking distance. I'm only a few games back.
With the spread?
Without the spread, not with the spread.
Oh, without the spread, yeah, you're only a,
yeah, but that's, the men play with the spread.
Oh,
how would you know?
You know, that's like you're driving from the blue tees. I'm hitting from the golds, okay?
The blue tees.
Did you get those colors right? Because, I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the colors.
Did we, by the way, have a Qdoba winner on the first try?
Yes, we did. Josh from Arlington
sort of.
Again. We had a beg
again?
We had a beg and plead for a caller, and he...
The call went out at 102, and it was probably, what, 117, 120? First of all,
well, first they had the phone off the hook.
He didn't have the phone plugged in. He comes around, plugs it in.
It was plugged in. I didn't touch anything.
Somebody called and hung
up.
They're
so sensitive.
They're such liars.
He's having a terrible show. Absolutely. Fall on his face.
Give him a break. He's got a lot to do. He's got a lot to do.
He started. We were in the midst of a discussion, and all of a sudden he started playing stuff, and he goes, oh, how'd you guys hear that? Well, you played it. He has no idea what any of those buttons do. Not a clue.
He's laughing in the background now, so obviously.
I wish I found the one to turn your mic off.
Matt has a PS. He says, since we are no longer having Mike fight Matt from Oregon, can we substitute Eric? I would pay to see that.
Hmm. No, Eric's fighting the 14-year-old fullback from somewhere.
Yeah, who's probably as big as Matt from Oregon.
Right.
It
doesn't have to be. He's going to kick
and
your ass either way.
I never challenged the kid to a fight. The kid challenged me for some
exactly.
particular
and
reason.
Exactly, and if you want to...
Well, I think you got harsh with him with words, and he said, I'll fight you.
No, what happened was...
You were like, come on, my friend.
No, what happened was some...
Pally.
Some
John
guy...
McCain.
Some,
champ.
Some guy challenged me to... Well, was upset with me and challenged me to a fight, and then the next email that was read, like the next show, I thought it was that guy, and it was some kid, and I said, innocently enough, is that the guy who wants to fight me? That's how it all started, and then
well, there's multiple people that want to fight you.
Well, now there are, yeah. Yes, Fred, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, you have added the little, okay. Didn't realize that.
Well, here we have a problem. Steve in South Dennis. Am I calling the wrong number
or what?
Every time I try to call in, a recorded female voice breaks in and says something like, for exciting live conversation, call 1-800-blah-blah-blah, and then the line cuts out. I don't get it. I'm dialing 1-800-543-7482. No, it's 508.
Call that number.
That
I
want to
hear
funny.
It. Call 1-800-543-7482 and play it on the air.
Yeah, you cheapskate. You got to enter your credit card, for the love of God.
Let us know what I really want to hear that. This is way better than some stupid Ken Flanders call.
Hey, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
You're not even capable of doing this. 9-1-800.
It's the same number, but just 800 instead of 508.
Oh, he's turning red. He's pooping himself in there.
It could be a joke by the caller, too, the emailer.
Well, we'll find out.
So
why do you keep putting the phone to your ear, pressing buttons, putting it back?
It may
to
not
your...
be a real number. Do you know the number? Okay.
He's reading it backwards through the thing.
Oh, it's real. I just heard his gay laugh in there.
That's what he was doing. Unbelievable.
Now, do you know how to play it on the air?
Unbelievable.
Ow.
For live talk with exciting people, call 1-800-545-6700.
It said 540-545.
Well, they're linking you to another
to a different number. Right. So obviously that number's out of order.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
With exciting
with
people.
Exciting people.
That, well, it's not even necessarily like phone sex. It's meet people.
Ours is 508-543-7482, and somebody already won, so sorry.
Call back next week. Thursday, we'll give away another 20-person buffet, as Fred would say.
We should get a 1-800 number.
We should. Can we?
No.
he suggests it and then shoots it down.
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to do our picks.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar,
the hot nacho bar,
the hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef,
three kinds of salsa,
fresh lettuce,
guacamole,
cookies and
brownies,
homemade tortillas, chips,
everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties,
soccer games,
birthday parties,
baby shower for my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh,
affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you gonna love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
August 15th, 2008. Do's or don'ts. Tonsorial tragedy for the rookies today as the vets gave them their horrendous haircuts. A Patriots training camp tradition. From what we've seen so far, linebacker Sean Crable has one of the worst new...
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Now, Twogender, you were kind of the monkey in this little act here. Are you going to have a monkey to do these moving forward, or are you going to remain the monkey?
Yeah.
You gonna talk?
No, monkeys don't talk. Apparently.
I will remain a monkey.
I think that'd be cool if you were making them and, you know, voicing them. Of course, there's probably also no one else to do it. So,
have you guys seen on the NFL Network this new kind of Flash girl they have?
Flash?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, she's like she does this NFL Network Now type segments.
Oh, the blonde?
Yeah.
I have seen her. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Wow.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. That's what you got to have when you have sport. If you have a good-looking woman, you know.
Well, and Nesson proved that by giving Heidi Watney a multi-year extension. She couldn't have been worse, did some things that pissed them off internally, and yet still got a multi-year extension.
Yeah.
I always think of Jody Watley when I hear that name. Remember her? Remember Jody Watley?
No.
Singer?
No. No.
From sort of back in the day. Paul would remember because that was sort of our era.
Oh.
Surprised you don't remember her.
I'm not into country.
You were probably. It wasn't country.
Wasn't country?
No, she was a pop star.
Pop star?
Look it up, two gender.
And a side note on, did you see Heidi Watney the other night?
No.
In person? Smoking.
Really?
Way hotter in person than she looks on those little Red Sox sideline gig things. She, those Nesson girls are way hotter in person than they are on Nesson.
Okay.
Because her and Tappan, a tag team I'd like
She's nice on television, too.
I'd like to have a handicap match with them.
Oh, boy. All right, it's time to go around the NFL.
How about that? Two gender, nice work.
Look how excited he is. Look
at
that smile.
He did something right.
He's like, I came through. The last half hour, I came through.
I'm just laughing that Eric likes that kind of music.
Of course he does.
I just remember the name of the girl. That's
called house music.
The Fred likes it, too. That's what they used to play in the main club.
I like the techno.
Those after-hours parties.
I like how he throws the in front of almost everything. The techno.
All right.
The monkey.
You like the disco when it was back in?
No, it wasn't a disco.
The Vogue?
All right. Paul did the rankings before he left for the big show.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm still winning.
Yep.
So let's get right into it because we got to hurry here.
Because there's less people and we still have a half hour.
Jeez. Did Paul leave his picks or are we just going to get
all right, we got
later?
A game tonight.
I don't know. He'll say him on EEI while he's not arguing with them and being just a flat out.
We have a game tonight on the NFL Network.
Yep. Yes.
It's Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, Chad Johnson is not playing.
There was a scroll that said he was activated.
Oh, he was activated now?
Oh, I thought it said deactivated.
Deactivated.
Okay.
That D is important there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's you know how ESPN
does. Just so you know, Fred doesn't have sources. He said that because when we walked in here, it was a big screen that said deactivated.
Oh, really?
No, it says it right here on NFL.com. Johnson deactivated. The Bengals have deactivated Chad Johnson for tonight's game with the Steelers for violating a team rule.
Oh. Hmm.
So.
Thought he was behaving himself. Yeah, you're right. There it is again. Deactivated.
Okay. So Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. What's the line?
Pittsburgh giving up 11 points.
Ooh.
I'll take Pittsburgh to win. You have a weather report on your little thing over there?
No.
Okay. Win and cover. I just have no desire to take the Bengals in any way.
And I agree with you. I want to take Pittsburgh both ways.
Paul didn't give us his picks before he left?
No.
So we'll get him later.
This is a popular knockout pick this week.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh both ways as well.
Okay. It's unanimous.
All right. Philadelphia at Baltimore.
This
is a tough game.
That is Baltimore at home giving a point.
Ooh. So it's basically a pick 'em.
Basically
a pick 'em. Andy.
Interesting.
Philly at Baltimore.
Interesting. I have not thought much of Baltimore all year, but they're getting the job done. Joe Flacco is getting a lot of praise, obviously. Donovan McNabb not getting a lot of praise of late.
Especially for his mental capacity.
Lost in the fact that he didn't know there was overtime. I think he threw three picks in that game and, you know, was a big factor in them tying and, you know, not winning. But I will take the Steelers, I mean the
Ravens?
Eagles. To bounce back and get a good road win here.
Mm-hmm.
And McNabb has a big game. Although I don't feel great about it because the Ravens are coming off a bad defensive performance against the Giants that they were embarrassed about. And that worries me that Ray Lewis and those whack jobs over there are going to come out absolutely killing.
Yeah. I like the defense in Baltimore. I like the way Flacco's playing. I don't like the way Philly's playing at this point. I think they're in danger of missing the playoffs. I'm going to give Baltimore a close win, but closer than a point.
Hmm.
I mean, not as close. Not as close as... like that, huh? Not as close as a point.
So closer than a point.
I'm going to take Baltimore both ways, outright.
Well, McNabb thought you could get half points. He's not sure of the scoring now. How many did he get for a field goal? He's not quite sure about that. Anyway, yeah, I got to go with Baltimore here. I think just that, you know, I think Philly has not played up to expectations this
year. They haven't.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they...
And that's why Andy Reid's taking a lot of heat as well. Yeah. Beyond just stupid little things along the way, there's a lot of, like, kind of snowballing against him.
Yep. All right. Houston at Cleveland. Houston at Cleveland. Oh.
Where the home Browns are giving 3.
And we need to talk about this. Phil Savage.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Monday night after his team played the Bills.
Phil Savage, the GM of Cleveland.
He received, well, I'm sure he receives a ton of emails from fans, but he received an email from a fan during the game while his team was leading. The guy ripping him, ripping Crennel, ripping pretty much everything about Cleveland, said this regime is worse than the Butch Davis era and all that. Well, Phil Savage chose to reply to the fan at 12:47 a.m. or something like that.
So right after the game ended,
right,
basically.
And said, go root for the Bills, bleep you, and wrote F star exclamation.
Right.
It was begging for a Dan Two-Gender blog reading.
Exactly.
F
exactly.
Number sign, ampersand.
I mean, this is the guy who's supposed to be the head of your organization, essentially, at least in terms of the football side. And he's firing off emails back at people. As I said to Paul, we get a lot of Ask PFWs that rip us personally or as PFW, and not once has any of us fired back an email at these people.
And idiot.
We're by no means in a position that he's in.
If anything, if we reply to someone, it's in a nice way.
Right. And if he want, first of all, there's no reason for him to be replying to fans in any way. But to do it in such a classless, unprofessional way.
Yeah, bizarre.
My guess is sort of ushering himself and Romeo out the door as, I mean, they're just showing that they're not ready to run a football team.
No.
And you're mad because he does radio interviews, but.
I just think you get in trouble.
Maybe both of them will be here next year, Fred. Savage is a Belichick system guy from Baltimore and under, what's his name?
See, I think more than a coach, I think GMs, when the GM is not the coach, there's this kind of feeling like they need to prove themselves every you know, decision of the way. And, you know, they feel like they're always being second-guessed. And I think they have thin skins. And I don't like GMs that aren't coaches being on the radio.
All right. I like them even less being on their email replying to fans at 12:47 a.m. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I mean, just flat-out stupid.
Kind of bizarre, too, that they'd have access to a GM's email.
Well, it's Phil Savage at ClevelandBrowns.com, so it's...
I think it's P. Savage.
No, yeah.
No, I think it's P. Savage. It's listed in the... It's out there now.
Yeah.
He'll probably have to change it to P.H. Savage or something. But it's just ridiculous. What was
so the home Browns are giving 3.
To who?
To Houston.
I'll take Houston. I have yet to be sold on the Browns. I'm not sold on Houston either, but I watched some Browns 2 weeks ago, and I just think their defense is terrible. They can't stop anyone. They have some guys that make play. I think DeQuell Jackson, their linebacker, leads the league in tackles.
Pretty good.
They're fraudulent tackles, some of them. The defense just not that good.
Schaub playing?
I don't care. Right. Steve Slayton, some big plays. He's healthy, right?
I think so. I like, despite what happened this week, I like Cleveland. They're at home. Brady Quinn is starting to come into his own. Offense putting up some points. I'll take them.
Yeah, to me, this is a hard game to pick. I just don't know. Both teams are very, very inconsistent. I'm going to go with Houston. I just think, you know, this will be a week where they play well. So I'll go with Houston.
Houston, huh? All right. Scroll on ESPN just said that Mortensen's reporting that the team rule was that Johnson was 45 minutes late to a meeting and then got into a verbal disagreement with a coach about it.
Good job. 45 minutes late.
According to...
He had to drop his kids off at school like Plaxico Burress.
Here's the email that was sent to Phil Savage. You are easily the worst GM in the NFL. Chud, Crennel, and Tucker should not have the jobs. How the hell do you play prevent defense the entire game? How do you not use Jerome Harrison more? Why the hell would you throw the ball with 6 minutes left? This is officially a regime that is worse than Butch Davis's. By the way, just like last week, this email was written while the Browns still had the lead. And then Phil's response, Phil Savage's response, was, go root for Buffalo, F you.
What an idiot.
Sounds like an Andy Hart response.
Yeah, but I've never done it because I know enough not to. That's stupid.
It is.
I know, but the thing is, the email that was sent to Savage was from the owner of the Browns. So. That's the
Randy
part,
Lerner,
that's the part that everybody left out. All right, so I'm taking Houston.
Yep, got that.
Okay. Next game, Tampa Bay at Detroit.
Where is that? Okay, Tampa at Detroit, where the Road Bucks are giving 8.5.
I'll take the Road Bucks to win and cover. Their defense is a good one and will not allow the Lions to put too many points on the board. And we will see once again why Dante Culpepper is Dante Culpepper. Last week we saw the picks. We saw the fumbles. We saw what Dante Culpepper is.
You know, I'm costing myself wins every week by doing this, but it's got to happen sometime. It has got to happen that Detroit is going to win a game. And I'd be damned if I'm not going to be there when they do. So I'm picking them again this week. Detroit in the upset at home.
So you like the Lions will go 1-15 in Lions games?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But I'm going down with the ship.
Okay.
Which is different than when
far.
You usually go down.
Oh.
Friday night.
What was the number again?
8.5.
8.5. I'm going to go Tampa Bay both ways in this game.
Okay.
Detroit's looking for a bailout. And it's not just the car industry. It's
going
the football team.
Oh, I thought, yeah.
You like that?
No, well, yeah. I did like people that there were some whiner line calls about, gee, it's a surprise. The Lions stink and Ford's going out of business and they're all run by the same people. And just kind of alluding to that, they're incapable of doing anything.
Right.
They basically inherited a multi-billion-dollar industry on both ends and ran them into the ground.
Buffalo at Kansas City. Buffalo at Kansas City.
Where, again, the road team is favored by 3.
The road team is favored by 3. Okay.
So the
Buffalo.
Buffalo is favored by 3 at Kansas City.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I will take the Bills to win. I think this is going to be a close game. The Chiefs have been playing close games for a while now. I think the Bills are done. So I guess I'll take the points. I don't feel all that good
really?
About it. Yeah.
So like a 1...
Yeah, I don't know
game?
What I'm doing.
All right.
Give me the Chiefs both ways. Sorry. Give me the
right.
Chiefs both ways. The Bills are done.
All right. It's in the books.
I'd like 3.5 there, and then I really could do my little split. But.
Well, I don't like the way the Bills are playing either, but Chiefs are the Chiefs this year. Arrowhead or otherwise, I'm going to take the Bills here in this game.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Chiefs to
really?
Win this game. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Good call, Fred. You and I.
Yeah, you know, the Chiefs, it's at home. I think the Bills aren't playing well. Yeah, I look at the Chiefs. I think the Bills kind of, that was it for them.
All right.
Let's see. Chicago at St. Louis. Chicago at St. Louis.
Where, again, the road team favored by 8.
Chicago got embarrassed last week.
Yes. Chicago wins and covers. The Rams are a bad football team, and that defense for Chicago will be looking to show that, you know, they're not as bad as their performance, as Fred said, the embarrassment from last week.
Oh, that was pathetic. I couldn't believe how
so
badly they lost. So I agree with you. I think they'll bounce back in a perfect week to do it against this week Rams team, which looked like they were going to do something with Haslett, but no.
I'll take Chicago to win, but St. Louis covers in this game. All right. Still with the Sunday at ones, New Jersey at Tennessee.
New Jersey.
Talking about the Jets.
I know
course.
What you're talking about.
It's funny. Their neat team name is the New York Jets.
They play in New Jersey.
Okay. Well, when we get to the Foxborough
to the Giants?
At Miami.
Well, they don't call them the Boston Patriots. They're the New England Patriots. If they want to call them the Tri-State
area
Jets. That's fine. I'll go with that.
What's the number?
508-543-7482.
And he didn't even have to look at it. That's good.
Tennessee by 5.5.
I'll take the points, and I'll take the Jets to win outright.
Ooh, wow.
I think they match up pretty well against Tennessee. They stop the run, which is obviously a prerequisite to beat that team. They have some decent coverage guys in Revis and Law that I think will pick off Kerry Collins.
Wow.
And I think they're balanced enough on offense to do enough offensively, score some points, and win the game. So Tennessee gets their first loss, and the Jets establish themselves atop the AFC East.
Good points by you, Andy. I think you're wrong, however. I think Tennessee keeps the streak rolling. I think the Jets slide a little bit. And I'm going to take the Titans and their number.
Favre doesn't finish the game. Tennessee wins.
You've been predicting that for a long time.
I know.
Is that a prediction or a hope?
Both.
So you got Tennessee both ways, you said?
Yep. Tennessee both ways.
All right.
We'll skip over the Patriots game and go to Minnesota at Jacksonville. Minnesota at Jacksonville.
The home Jags giving two.
Really? I will take the Minnesota Vikings to get the road win. A defensive battle here, some physical play, some running the ball, and I think the Adrian Peterson Vikings do have enough success on the ground to make the difference in this game. A little bit of a battle here between Troy Williamson and his former coach and war of words because he suspended Williamson last year when he went to a funeral or fined him. And so,
for going to a funeral.
Supposedly. He went to his grandmother's funeral, I believe. A little bit of a who-knows story.
He said, she said.
Yeah. But bottom line is this is going to be a slugfest between two decent defenses, physical football teams. I picked the Vikes to go out on top.
I agree. I think close slugfest, but I think the home team will win it by at least three in this one, so I'll take the Jags both ways.
I got to go with Minnesota. I think their run defense will kind of shut down Jacksonville. That's Jacksonville's only chance, and so I'll go with the Vikings here. Vikings, they're 5-5. Do they still have a chance up there with Chicago and Green Bay?
I think everyone is,
tight.
They're
tight
all right there.
I think they all have that record.
When Chicago
basically.
Yeah, one was 5-4,
right,
one was
right.
4-5.
So they're still in it. Jaguars are 4-6. I think it's more of a must-win for Minnesota. All right, San Francisco at Dallas. This is a 1 o'clock game, even though it's in Dallas. San Francisco at Dallas.
So noontime over there. And Dallas, wow, big number, 10.5 they're giving.
That's a big number for good reason. That San Francisco team stinks. Dallas, still not sold how good they are or what they are. But they will put up big numbers against the San Francisco 49ers. Big points. Big wins.
Yep, I agree with that. I think the 14-17 point range is where it's going to end up. So I'll take Dallas.
I'll take Dallas to win, but San Francisco covers, believe it or not.
Not.
Mike Tomlinson goes out, plays a little linebacker for him. They get through.
What in God's name are you talking about?
Singletary?
Michael
Singletary. Is that who you were talking about?
Singletary, the coach.
You took the coach of the Steelers, the running back for the Chargers, sort of the coach for the Niners, and got none of it right.
All right.
Mike Tomlinson.
Dallas wins but doesn't cover.
I gotcha.
Oakland at Denver. This used to be a good game.
Where Denver at home is giving 9.5 to the Raiders.
A lot of big numbers this week.
I'll take Denver to win and cover. Raiders are a joke.
Yep.
That's all you need to know.
Yep.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. So you're going both ways?
Denver both ways.
Yeah,
yep.
Me too. Denver both ways. Did you get that? He's not paying attention.
Yeah, he's not. He's
See, I had the question and the answer.
You proud of yourself?
He's taken over fully in that role, so that means he's
I said, Eric, you going both ways? He said, yep. Did you get that?
That'll be the next great moment in PFW history.
Okay. 4:15 game, Carolina at Atlanta. Carolina at Atlanta.
Oh, they changed this one? Because it's listed as 1:15. Yeah, they must have.
I got it at 4:15. Did they flex into 4:15?
No game would start at 1:15 anyway, so that's just a typo on this spreadsheet.
4:15.
Atlanta, the Ryans by a point. That's the number.
Interesting. Both teams obviously run the ball. You saw Carolina with big plays from both their backs. They have that two-headed monster of Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. Carolina is 8-2?
8-2.
Yeah. A surprising and kind of quiet
paper champion.
Yeah, 8-2. Atlanta, obviously Matt Ryan getting all the praise. Heard Brian Billick call him the best rookie quarterback he's seen in 30 years.
I'm impressed with him.
All that said, I will take the Carolina Panthers to win. They shut down the running game for Atlanta more than Atlanta shuts down theirs.
What you say, paper champion? I'm going to beat you like a dog.
There is no team in the NFC South with a losing record.
That's impressive.
Carolina's 8-2. The Bucs are 7-3. Falcons are 6-4. And the Saints are 5-5.
Well, I think the Falcons will be 7-4 following this weekend. I think they're going to get it done at home. So I'm going to take them to win it outright.
Okay. I'm leaning toward Atlanta myself. I'm going to go with Atlanta.
All right.
So in the course of a sentence, he went from leaning toward to taking.
New York Giants at Arizona Cardinals.
Wait, aren't they the New Jersey Giants?
What's that?
New York Giants?
They play long enough in New York where they can be the New York Giants. New York Giants at Arizona Cardinals.
The road team, Giants, giving 3.
That's all, huh?
That's it.
Giants?
Arizona's getting a lot of respect.
They're a good team.
Getting a lot of respect.
Leading their division.
Home. I will take the Giants to win and cover. They may be due for a little bit of a fall off at some point. But pretty much they've been the most consistent team in football, solid on both sides of the ball. And Brandon Jacobs continues to be, I think he's averaging like 5.7 a carry. They lead the league in running the ball. When you can run the ball, put a little pressure on the quarterback, they got a lot of the things you need to be a winning football team, winning formula. I think they keep it going.
Yeah, the Giants are a good team, and I agree with what Andy said. But I don't see them going 15-1. I think they'll go... I think they'll lose 2 or 3 games, and the second one they're going to lose is this one, a tough one on the road to a division-leading team like Arizona. So I'll take Arizona in the upset.
You and I just really differing here because you seem to be saying, I agree with what he said, but I'm going the other way.
Right.
So you and I, crossroad game here.
Yep. I can't go with the Cardinals in this game. I got to pick the Giants. So, and to cover.
Okay. You're allowed to pick
them. Yeah, you are. You can do what you want.
Do whatever you want to do.
Big kid. You know what you're doing.
I'll go with the Giants. All right.
He's kind of shaped like a big
Washington.
Kid.
Washington?
Washington at Seattle.
We're on the road, the team, again, road team getting a lot of respect this week. 3.5 for Washington.
I am going to go to Washington to win and cover because if they have 20 players worthy of the Pro Bowl, then they should be one of the best teams in football. And since they have 20 players in the top 5 voting in the NFL Pro Bowl voting, I'll pick them.
This scares me because Seattle's a team that's played horribly all year, but they're at home, and you think maybe...
Hasselbeck's back.
Maybe. But I just think Washington is too tough, and they're going to get it done on the road, so I'll take them both ways.
I will go with Washington Washington to win, but Seattle to cover.
It's not a bad one.
Wow, that's really calling it tight, Fred.
Well, it's 3.5, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
I'll go with Seattle to cover.
Interesting little dynamic here is obviously Jim Zorn returning to where he... coached and played and learned under Mike Holmgren in the offense. So Seattle probably has the edge in terms of the chess match and thinking what Zorn is going to do. So not a bad pick on your part, Fred.
Indianapolis at San Diego. Indianapolis at San Diego.
That's San Diego at home.
This is Sunday night.
Yep, San Diego at home giving 3 points. So San Diego favored by 3 here.
I will take the Indianapolis Colts to win on the road. I don't feel great about it. I don't feel great about either of these teams. Obviously, two sort of disappointment football teams. Poster childs for the season that is 2008 in the National Football League. And I think it'll be a very tight game that could go either way. So I'll just take the Colts.
Yeah, I'm suspect about this game, too. I'd really like to pick the Chargers, but... You know, every week I pick against the Colts, and they win games they shouldn't be winning, so I'm going to go with them this week.
I think San Diego wins this game. I think that with the speed they have in Tomlinson and Gates, I think they might match up pretty well with the Colts' defense, which is still, you know, not that great. So I think San Diego pulls this game out.
All right.
Good game.
Good to pick as any.
Monday night, Green Bay at New Orleans. Real barn burner.
Yeah, a close one, though. Close one. New Orleans at home giving 2.5. Very tight one.
I will take the Green Bay Packers to win on the road in New Orleans. New Orleans, a big disappointment.
You like the Packers?
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I've always considered myself a Packer. I think Green Bay puts up some points in this one. Ryan Grant had a good performance.
Put some up last week, that's for sure.
Had a good performance last week, and I think that offense can be very productive if they can get something out of the ground game. If he can turn it on late here, looks like he might. So I'll take the Packers.
Both of these teams are kind of schizophrenic, and I think this week we see the Dr. Jekyll out of New Orleans.
Is that the good one or the bad one?
It's a good one. So I'm going to take New Orleans to win it and cover.
Really? I think Green Bay is the clear-cut favorite in this game. I really think so.
Okay. Why? Because they had a good game last week?
They've been playing better. I think they've really established themselves as the best team in their division. And New Orleans is really shaky. So I got
to
go with Green Bay.
Green Bay wins outright. All right, Fred.
All right, we go back to Sunday at 1 down in Miami. New England's traveling. Foxborough
takes
Dolphins.
On Miami.
Big game for New England. Maybe a must win.
It is a
gotta
must
keep
win.
Pace with the Jets.
Both teams are 6-4, second place, and the home team is favored by 1.5.
Wow. Patriots, no respect.
Kind of a pick 'em. Well, I don't know if you know, Miami absolutely beat the hell out of these Patriots here earlier this season, and the Patriots are coming off a loss. Dolphins have won 6 of 8 since that point, 4 in a row. The Tuna has done it again, taking a franchise that was picking number one overall and has it in a playoff battle. Fred sighs because he hates to see it when Parcells does it, but for whatever position he's in, whatever title he holds, when he arrives at a franchise, you get better. Guys learn how to win overnight, seemingly. He makes the right moves.
Problem is he doesn't stay to finish the job.
That is a clear problem. But there aren't too many people in the world who can go to a 1-15 football team and have them in a, what is it, third week of November playoff.
He definitely knows how to build football teams. There's
and
no
he's done it again.
I love that crap.
You know, and the thing about it is a lot of people said, well, you know, he's a good coach, but he's probably not a good general manager.
He's proven that wrong.
Yeah.
Or he's proven that he picked the right coach to work with to sort of be a puppet, if he's a puppet, whatever it is. He put together a 3-man group there with him, Ireland, and Sperano that's working.
Yeah, some people thought that this was a job where he was just collecting a paycheck.
Right.
And letting everyone else do the work.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he is. And if so, credit to
those
guys.
Then he picked the right guys to do the work underneath them and make him look good.
Right.
Whatever it is, he did the right things. They're a good football team. I don't think they're great. And that said, I think these Patriots are not only embarrassed still from the first time around, and that is still simmering in the back of their heads and in their butts and everywhere else.
But you don't have Rodney Harrison to remind him every minute.
But you have Bill Belichick to remind him.
Yeah.
You have Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfork to remind him. This defense comes out flying around. Gerard Mayo is now a leader on this football team. I think they stuff the Wildcat. I think they shore
Mayo.
Up the middle of the field just enough. I think they get a little pressure on Pennington, which is also key. And I think they absolutely have their way with the Miami Dolphins. I think it's a 10-point to 2-touchdown victory that may even be easier.
They're going to have their way so much that maybe PETA might have to get involved?
Yes,
perhaps.
Okay. They will be cruelty to Dolphins.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike Vrabel said something interesting in the locker room today. Was asked
what, hello?
About the Wildcat.
Oh.
He might have said hello. I don't even know if he said that. But
he said, I'm going to have a sack this week?
They asked him about, you know, stopping the Wildcat, and do you think Miami's going to do anything different after the success they had? And he said, you know what, I've never coached before, but if I were, I would keep running the same play until the other team proved they could stop it.
Yeah.
So I think it would be interesting to see what Miami does, and if they do try to, because the last few weeks, ever since they've run it against New England, it's had decreasing amounts of success.
They've had success. They have had success.
Not like they did against the Patriots.
Not
nearly like they did against the Patriots. It would
work
in spurts.
It would be pretty hard to be any more successful than they were against the Patriots.
You'd be winning games 40-0 if that was the case.
So when Two Gender finally turns down the music and we can hear each other again.
Wow.
Wah.
I'm going to say that I think it's going to be interesting to see what Sperano does with that offense and whether or not he uses it at all or if he uses formations out of it.
He will.
But it won't matter because I think New England is ready for whatever they're going to do this time around. And I think they win by plenty of points.
Well, it might surprise you, but I have to pick the Patriots in this game.
I am shocked.
Stunned. Never saw that coming.
So
desperation makes for a dangerous Patriots
team. No, I think
team.
So. Even though, you know, Miami's a tough place for Patriots to win. They don't always do that well down there.
It's very different.
It is different now.
First of all, two games to the same division opponent.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
Jason Taylor's gone. Zach Thomas gone. Patrick Surtain, Sam Madison. Tom Brady's gone.
Joey Porter needs to shut his mouth.
He doesn't need to. If he has 4 sacks a game against the Patriots,
I'm just tired of hearing
him. He can yap all he wants. Interesting to keep an eye on that fight thing, though. I want to see if Joey Porter picks a fight pregame with that whole punting, disrespect, warm-ups, and which Patriot may or may not take the bait. I circle Pepper Johnson as one of the likely candidates to take the bait, and he's a coach. I think there's a chance see those two fight.
I trade that. I'll trade Pepper on the sideline for Joey Porter.
If they're going to do that, he called out the whole team for doing that. The whole team should gather at midfield and take him on that.
How about Mike? Yeah. How about Brad Seeley? Brad Seeley's a special teams coach.
Yeah.
He told him to make, you know.
That would be good, like Georgia did when they did that pregame all hopping up. That'd be great if they came out and did that on the Dolphin logo.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Oh, that'd be good. All
are
right.
Are you wrapping us up?
A little gamesmanship.
Who the hell
all
do
right.
you think
we
gotta you
are? We got to get going. Is John next? Is he at home?
He's actually he's right behind you. A very special John Rook show. Is that what it's called?
A very special
playbook. Patriots playbook.
Why is that?
Because you're here. Haven't seen you in a while.
And of course, John will have Russell Baxter.
He will.
Russell
and
Baxter.
And Dan Dierdorf, hopefully.
And Dan Dierdorf.
Oh, I thought Dierdorf was yesterday.
No? Blew you guys off.
So Dan Dierdorf, Russell Baxter, and Eric Scalavino.
Of Scalavino.com.
Yes.
Famed artist and football analyst.
With very little formal training.
I have no formal artistic training.
All right. We'll see you next Tuesday.